Good morning, and welcome to Berean Bible Church. Are you happy to be in Jesus this morning? That's good. I just want to make sure that. Okay, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we're actually not going to be really long today, but that will prepare us for next week. You can turn, if you want, to Revelation 21. And verse 7. In the book of Revelation, John sees the one who sat upon the throne. And he's called the Alpha and Omega. And he says, write these things, write these words. They are true and faithful. They are true and faithful. In Revelation 21:7, he who overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son. These are true and faithful words. To be called an overcomer, the one who overcomes, is the highest honor that can be put upon a human being. And I personally believe that overcomers will be a remnant. Because of Luke 12:32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There will be a remnant of people that are crowned, that are given the kingdom when Jesus returns to this earth, and they will inherit all things. A person who is an overcomer is a Christian that made many decisions in life, but always kept things in a biblical perspective. And because of this, he was one that endured. He endured to the end. And that is very important. James says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." And the word happy means blessed. They're happy because they're blessed. They endured. Overcomers are those who keep the faith. Overcomers are those that fight the good fight of faith. Overcomers are those that boast of their hope firm until the end in Hebrews 3, verse 6. And they die in faith. Understanding Hebrews 11, 6, where the Scriptures clearly say, without faith it is impossible to please Him. That He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. You know, to diligently seek the Lord takes planning. It's not something that comes at a whim or just happens. We have to carefully plan to seek the Lord diligently. It takes preparation, purpose, and discipline. An overcomer is a Christian who refused to be defeated by his own fleshly desires. An overcomer is a Christian who refused to be overwhelmed with the temptations of this world. An overcomer is someone who's a Christian who refused to be devoured by his adversary, Satan, the devil. In 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, Jesus used the phrase, "He that overcometh," 7 times in the book of Revelation in chapters 2 and chapters 3. And he's addressing the true churches. Jesus will personally acknowledge and reward those that overcome. Why? Because they were victorious. They conquered. And that's what it means to be an overcomer. The word overcomer means to conquer. It means to be victorious. Just like Jesus Christ did when he was on the earth, he was a conqueror. He was victorious in his faith. In Revelation 3:21, Jesus says, "To him who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame." As I also overcame, Jesus said. Jesus had to overcome. He overcame. "And sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." You know, Jesus wanted us to hear this morning. This is what the Spirit says to the churches. We as a church need to hear it. And when I say hear it, it needs to go down deep. Deep inside our thinking. Deep inside of our heart. Overcomers were the few people in the church that made deliberate choices to go the straight gate. To go the narrow way that leads to life that Jesus spoke about in Matthew 7, verse 14. And let me tell you, God will not be ashamed to be their God. In Hebrews 11, 16. And Jesus says here in Revelation 21, 7, "I will be his God and he shall be my son." Revelation 21, 7 makes it very clear. I will be his God. He's not ashamed. He's not ashamed. "I will be his God, to be called his God, and he shall be my son." As a son, he says, he shall inherit all things. I mean, what a statement. What a statement to think about this morning. A son who will inherit all things. What an incentive we have. What a motivation we have. What a reason to live we have. What a reason to be a blessing. As a son, he shall inherit all things. What an amazing opportunity that we have before us. What an amazing privilege it will be to be called a son and to inherit all things. The blessings that are associated with overcoming are absolutely mind-blowing. Revelation 2:7 said that we'll eat from the tree of life. Some of these things, I don't even know exactly what they mean. I don't think we will ever know exactly what they mean until it takes place. But we shall be given to eat of the tree of life in Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:11 says that he that overcomes will not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2:17 says that he that overcomes, Jesus says, "I will give him to eat of hidden manna." Hidden manna. Not sure what that is. But I guarantee you it's a privilege. It's an honor. Revelation 2:26 is much easier to understand. He says, "He who overcometh and keep my works until the end, to him will I give authority over the nations." Then in Revelation 3:5, something that we definitely want, to have as an overcomer is that we'll be clothed in white raiment. And Jesus said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. Revelation 3:12 talks about being made a pillar in the temple of my God. And then in Revelation 3:21, as I already read this morning, we'll be granted to sit with Jesus Christ on his throne, even as he sat down on his Father's throne. What an amazing privilege and opportunity we have to be overcomers. The opportunity only extends to those that are in the Lord's church. Only. That's why John said in 1 John 2:28, he said, oh, little children, abide in him. Abide in him. Why? That you might have confidence when he shall appear. And not be ashamed at his coming. We don't want to be ashamed. Oh, there will be many people that have their excuses ready to read to Jesus when he comes again and sits on the judgment seat of Christ. They will have all their excuses. And let me tell you, the Lord will be certainly glad to hear those excuses. But you cannot overcome without a church. There is no way under heaven anyone can overcome, according to the Bible, without a church. Why is that? Overcoming is not easy. It's not an easy thing to do. The word itself means that we had to overcome something very difficult. Obstacles are presently before us, all around us, and will always be there. Always. They will always be there. People, circumstances, situations. As long as we live in this evil age, we will have challenges to our faith. Absolutely, it's clear. Things that oppose godliness will come into our lives. Trials, tribulations, temptations. This is what life is all about. We are not yet in the promised land. We are on our way. We are in the wilderness journey. And it is full of trials and temptations and tribulations. But James tells us very clearly what it takes to be an overcomer. In James 1:12, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he has been approved, that's a very important statement. When he has been approved. 2 Timothy 2:5 says that the athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. We have to compete to the rules, or we will not be crowned. We will not be approved. And James goes on to say, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Oh, endurance. I can't tell you how important that word is. It's a word that we need to study over and over again. It's a word that we need to look at in our own personal life in the Scriptures. Hebrews 10:35 says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. So many today are casting away their confidence. And they are not going to have a great recompense of reward. A great recompense of reward. They will have a fearful expectation of fiery judgment, according to Hebrews 10:26. You know, all the fathers were people that endured because of reward. Every one of the fathers that we look at, and the main three fathers that I think in the Scriptures that come to mind when we think of our fathers, number one is Abraham. Abraham endured. In Genesis 15:1, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abraham. I am a shield to you. Your reward Your reward shall be very great. Abraham endured. Why? Because of great reward. How about Moses? In Hebrews 11:26, it says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Again, motivation, outlook, reward, reward. David, in Psalm 19, verse 9 to 11, he writes, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired, more to be desired are they than gold. Yea, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Verse 11, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. By them is your servant warned. And in keeping of them, there is great reward. In keeping of them, there is great reward. What are the keys? Or what is the key to overcoming? Or is there a key to overcoming? What is the essential tool that we need in our life to overcome? Now, there are many things that maybe come to your mind when you think of overcoming. I think first and foremost, something that has to be there. And if it's not there, then you will not. It's guaranteed. You will not overcome. And you will lead a defeated life. And that is our perspective. What was the perspective of Abraham, of Moses, of David? It was a perspective of faith. It looked away from all the problems of this life to what? A future reward. They looked away from all the details and problems and tribulations and trials and even persecutions, and they looked to the world to come. That was their hope. And we'll talk more about that next week. I found two passages that I think clearly share what we need to have for our perspective if we're going to overcome. If we have this perspective and we keep it within our thinking at all times, there will be nothing at all in this life that will defeat us or can defeat us. Nothing, not all. But the problem is that we forget and we adopt a very natural way of thinking, and our perspective becomes very limited and short-sighted, focusing only upon this world and this world only and all of our problems. But this is not the way the Bible teaches that Christians should be living an overcoming life. Our focus should not be on our problems. Our focus should not be upon what we don't have or what we want to have. Listen very carefully to what Paul says. And in fact, turn there if you want to. 1 Corinthians 15:19. I mean, this is such an important verse for Christians. Paul says in verse 19 to 1 Corinthians 15, if in this life only, if in this life only, we have hope in Christ. What does he say? We are of all men most miserable. We're miserable. If your perspective, Paul is saying here, if your perspective is limited to this life only, Paul is saying, let me tell you, you will not overcome. You will lead a defeated life. If as Christians, We only have our hopes set on the things of this life only. We will lead, Paul says, a very miserable existence. And we see this in people that don't have the right perspective. We watch their lives. We see their lives. And they can put on a facade and they can put on the acting routine. But down deep, they live a miserable existence. They might look happy. They might sound happy. But Paul said in the Bible, if their hope is only in this life only, they are miserable. They are miserable. Why is that? Because no matter what Paul is talking about here is the resurrection. So what he's saying is, no matter how good you have it here in this life, it eventually is going to come to an end. It's going to come to an end. And death is going to reign on everyone's parade. Death is an enemy, it's not a friend. And as the late Jim Morrison used to sing a song, he said, "No one gets out alive." It didn't take him long to figure that out. Paul said, "All die in Adam." Death is an enemy. In order to overcome, we need a perspective that looks beyond this life only. And if we don't keep that in our perspective, we will live a miserable existence. Our life will not be an overcoming life. It will be a defeated life. That's what Paul is trying to say here. Abraham, Moses, and David all had a perspective that looked beyond this life only. And this should be the Christian perspective. This is a faith perspective. Our hope in Christ extends beyond this life only. Beyond the grave. Beyond death. Now here are two verses that if we really nail these down into our thinking, use some FeviQuick or something, and really paste them onto our brains, we will be able to endure every single challenge that life brings our way. And we will overcome. First verse is found in Romans 8:18. This is a faith perspective. And let me tell you, if you don't have this, you will eventually become a miserable person, hoping only in Christ this life. I hope tomorrow I win the lottery. I hope tomorrow I have a better marriage. I hope tomorrow all these things in this life. I hope other people will like me. I hope this and hope that. Hope I have a better job. I hope this. And all these things will vanish. And all these hopes and dreams and aspirations for this life, where do they go? They go to the grave with you. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." This verse is a faith perspective. This is the perspective that we have if we've decided to live by the faith of the Son of God in Galatians 2:20. This is the faith of the Son of God. A person who reckons this, a person who counts this, a person who considers this. Is this our perspective in everyday decisions? Is this really what we believe? Do we believe what Paul said here? Is this our settled conviction? Paul is saying, I reckon, the Greek word means to make calculations. In other words, it means to do your math. Add things up. And when you do this, you will absolutely see that there is no comparison. No suffering in this present time is worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. If that is our perspective, let me tell you, you will have the power to endure anything and everything that comes your way. Sounds simple, but we forget. We have to keep this perspective if we want to overcome. The overcoming life looks beyond the sufferings of this present time. And let me tell you, it is not natural. This is of faith. That's why it's so hard to do. It is of faith. The natural focus is on our problems, on our difficulties, on the losses that we face in this life. The natural and worldly focus places all of its importance upon the sufferings of this present time instead of the glory that shall be revealed. We have to shift our focus this morning. We have to shift our focus if we want an overcoming way of life. And many times our focus gets derailed, it gets sidetracked, and we have to come back to these all-important verses. Our hope in Christ should not just be in this life only. And Paul said, if it is, let us all live the pagan lifestyle. Let us eat, drink, be merry, and die tomorrow. When the glory that shall be revealed, that should be our focus. And we have that as our perspective. We have power to overcome all the obstacles in our path to the promised land. The second verse is 2 Corinthians 4:17. Much like what Paul wrote here. And how often I have just completely forgotten this. And I'm sure you have too. And you might be able to quote it and read it many times. But living it is another issue. Making it part of my life is another issue. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The NIV says that for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of them. The English Standard Version says the affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory. The New English Translation says, is producing for us an eternal weight of glory. And I really like how the Amplified brings this out. Although it's very long, it is so good. It says, for our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparisons and all calculations, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. He really amplified that verse. I almost couldn't say that in one breath. But what I want you to see in this passage, which is really unique, is Paul includes himself. He includes himself. I mean, that's so relevant. Think about it for a minute. Consider the affliction of Paul. Consider the affliction of Paul. Let me just read some of these things in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, and danger from the false brothers. In toil and hardship through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. The question I ask, does that seem light to you? Does that seem small? Paul's trials. I mean, think of Paul's trials. Acts 20:23. He says, in every city, the Holy Spirit of God says, in every city, bonds and afflictions await me. In every city. And Paul is saying here, light and momentary affliction. Paul's making a point, and we really need to get this in our heads. It is a perspective of faith. In Paul's estimation, in his perspective of faith, the afflictions of this life were not worthy to be named in comparison with what it was producing in his life for the coming kingdom. All the afflictions in his life, in the faith perspective, not the natural perspective, in the faith perspective, all the afflictions that he went through, which was his whole life when he came to know Jesus Christ, after that, whole life of suffering, of tribulation. God promised that that would be his life as a Christian. Is that 30 or so years of suffering, Paul said, were light. They were small. And it was momentary. The eternal weight of glory outweighed everything he went through in life following Jesus Christ. Everything. He said, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. A far more exceeding. The weight of the eternal glory is far greater than our light, momentary afflictions. He said, folks, I want you to understand this. The problems that you are facing, they're light. They're small. And you know what? They're only for a moment. There for a moment. Even if you live 100 years in comparison to the eternal, they are only momentary. They will not last forever, Paul says. But understand this, Paul says this very clearly, the effect that these afflictions have on us now is producing something that goes beyond this life. The effect that the trials and tribulations is producing in us goes way beyond this life. That is, if you let it. If you let it. Because you know what? It can be producing something else. It can be producing a child of the devil. Right? The devil wants you to think naturally. He wants you to be selfish. He wants you to be self-interested. He wants you to be consumed with your own life. He wants you to think now. Because he wants you to think you're just an animal. And this life is all there is. Is this our perspective when we face the daily difficulties? Do we reverse this? Do we reverse this whole faith perspective? Do we cry and complain about how we can't handle our problems? And is your difficulties outweighing the far more exceeding eternal weight of glory? If it does, you are likely anything but living an overcoming life. Let me tell you, if you have the right perspective, the faith perspective, it is the key to being an overcomer. These two verses will save us because it gives us a faith perspective. And we must understand that the Christian perspective has a hope. It has an anticipation that goes beyond this life only. Our hope is not something better in this world. That is not a Christian hope. Let us not focus on our problem. Let us not focus on our affliction. Let us stop whining and crying. I can't handle this. You don't know what I'm going through. Paul does. Paul knows what we're going through. He said, it is light, it is momentary when it's put on the scales and when it's weighed with the far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Guess what? It is small. It is nothing. He said, it's not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed when Christ returns with His kingdom. This will make the difference between people in the church that overcome and those who don't. Those who keep this perspective. This is their guiding light through the darkness of this world. You lose it, you lose the crown. Kiss it goodbye. Because then all your hopes are settled for this life only. And it will all perish when you perish. Let's have a Christian perspective. Let's have a faith perspective. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, God, for this opportunity to align our thinking, Lord, and many here always keep this in their mind, and this is something that we always want to go back to and bring to the forefront of our minds. It's what keeps us. It keeps us, Lord, from living in sin, keeps us from friendship with the world and sitting at the table with the devils and having fellowship. God, this is what keeps us and makes us an overcomer, our perspective. Let us always lead a faith perspective. Let us always consider the sufferings of this present time, not something worthy to even be brought up in comparison to the glory that's going to be revealed. And one day when we are crowned and rewarded, we'll look back and say, oh, Paul was so right. Oh my goodness, what a trifling existence that was. All those little details compared to this glory. Father, we just pray, God, that You would help our church to always keep this in mind, and this will minimize any kind of problems among us in our fellowship together because we have an outlook that goes beyond this life. And Lord, bless this message and keep it within us always. And we will continue to go back to it and back to it as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.